GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1359, June 19, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from Gas City, Indiana. I got the load unloaded. I guess it was probably about 6 o'clock this morning. And so then afterwards I came back just up the road to this, there's a truck stop. Found a place to park and was getting ready to go to bed, and the Qualcomm lit up, and it was one of the, you know, whoever the dispatcher is for this area. Are you ready to go? No. So apparently they weren't looking at the, you know, because I put in a planned time of availability. I updated that to I think 6 p.m., you know, gave myself a little bit extra time. And so I typed a message and I said, my PTA is 6 a.m. and I'm about to go to bed. And so never heard anything back. And so I went to bed, and then I ended up waking up, I guess it was around 3 o'clock, 3:30, at least, or that would have been central time. And looked at my Qualcomm and it was lit up, and so I, you know, there was a load offer, and so I answered the load offer, I accepted it, and it immediately came back and said, this is not available, or it's no longer available. And so I haven't heard anything since then. They sent the load offer, I guess, around 1:30 central time, so I was a little bit late, you know, probably about an hour and a half or a little more answering it, so some other truck got it, and so I'm basically sitting here for the night. And so I don't know that it I could probably use some sitting time, you know, since I've had all of these little short just-in-time loads. And the load that they offered was basically the same thing. It was some kind of a and I don't even remember where it picked up, somewhere in here in Indiana, and I don't remember where it was going, but it was quite a ways away, you know, more than 500 miles for the next day. So a lot of those, well, I think it was the next day, but anyway, it would require a lot of driving. So someone else picked that up, and then, as I say, so far they haven't send anything else. So I don't know, these loads, you know, with their odd appointment times, really, from time to time, it really kind of ends up screwing up my sleeping patterns. And right now they're screwed up because I slept a good chunk of the, you know, good chunk of the day away, and now I'm right now, I might have been able to take a nap, but right now I'm wide awake, and it's like, well, it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning, central time. So it's going to take me a little while to get my days kind of turned back around, you know, where I'm sort of sleeping at night and driving in the daytime. But then again, it just depends on what loads they send. So, who knows? So anyway, I got up late this afternoon and kind of messed on the computer for a while. Messed with the phone some more, played with it a little bit. I'd heard about this application called Foursquare, and I'd heard people talk about it, never really paid much attention to it. Keep hearing about it periodically, and I have to say, I finally tried it out. I finally remembered it this afternoon, and so I looked it up in the Android marketplace on the phone, downloaded it, installed it, and it's pretty cool. What Foursquare does, it's kind of a social network. It ties into Twitter. You know, when you're signing, you have to sign up on the website for a Foursquare account. And once you do that, as part of the sign-up process, it asks if you want to, you know, connect to Facebook and Twitter. Those are probably the two most popular social networking things going right now. And so I did. I tied it to my Facebook account and my Twitter account. And it kind of picks up different people. You know, you can send requests and friend requests. So if they're on Foursquare, then they will show up in your list once they grant permission. Or people can send me friend requests. And once I grant permission, then I'll show up in your Foursquare list. But be that as it may, it seems to me that at least for me, there's this other tab that you click on in Foursquare. There's three tabs. One of them is people and then locations, and then I don't remember what the other one is without looking right now. But that second one, the location, you click on that, and of course it's tied into the phone's GPS chip, and it is extremely useful for me because what it does, it lists all of the businesses. It's really centered around restaurants, but it also has gas stations, motels, and other types of businesses. It shows, you know, it lists all of the those types of businesses kind of in your immediate local area. And it tells you how many meters they are away. And so I'm parked in this sort of a fuel stop / truck stop. And it says, whatever the name of it was, it's 38 meters away. And then there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken Taco Bell across the street, and it was like 639 or 640 meters away. And then there's a Starbucks, and so on and so forth, a Hardee's, so on and so forth. And so that could be very useful. That will be very useful. When I'm at some place, I can find out real quick what's around. How close is it? It gives you, click on that, it gives you their address, and so on and so forth. So that's actually pretty, that will be a pretty useful application for me, because it's sort of tying into the phone's GPS, and then it lists the local businesses. Now the idea is that you're at one of these locations, you can, I forget what they call it, but you send this little update from that location. So the very first one I sent was from this truck stop, and then a little while later I went across the street to the Kentucky Fried Chicken / Taco Bell. They're integrated there together because it's owned by the same company. After I got my food, I sent an update from there. And you can actually look and see who else has sent updates from those in the past. And so that's where, I've been seeing on Facebook, it says, people are mayor of Starbucks and all that. And I think, it's just I don't know, to be a mayor of a Starbucks or some kind of a place, you have to send so many of these updates from there, you know. And so what it's encouraging is repeat customers. And actually, Starbucks, if you're mayor of a local Starbucks, they will give you like a dollar off of something, you know. Like a $4 item, they'll give you a dollar off, like 25% off. So it's kind of an interesting way of encouraging people to go back to a restaurant or wherever. And so it's an interesting way of promoting, you know, promotion, advertising, getting people to go back. And, it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting kind of application. But as I say, the most, probably at least right now, the most useful part of it for me is wherever I'm at. In this case, I'm kind of parked at just off of an exit for Gas City, Indiana. And, here it is. It lists all the businesses that are really, you know, that are actually kind of within walking distance. Now, some of the ones that are, you know, obviously it would be a longer walk. I don't think I'd want to walk too far, but they're, you know, a lot of them within, you know, let's say 640 meters. Well, that's not that far. That's an easy walk. So, in any case, after I installed that and played with it for a little bit, then I finally walked across the street to the KFC, Taco Bell, and went in there and got something to eat and sat down and ate it. And while I was eating, I could see this, you know, it was getting dark off to, I guess it would be to the west. And there was this, you know, these clouds blowing in, and I could see the wind had really picked up. But by the time I got done eating it, you know, I looked out there, and it was really raining pretty hard. So I ended up, after I was finished eating, I probably stood in there for about 15 minutes kind of waiting for the rain to die down so that I could walk back across to my, you know, the street back over to this truck stop to my truck. And it finally did die down. And then since then, it's kind of periodically rained harder. The rain has stopped. I think right now it's raining once again. And once in a while, I'll see some lightning. I think there are probably storms in the area, but other than just periodic rain, I'm not really hearing any thunder at the moment. But so that's been kind of going on and off all evening, you know, especially later in the evening. So, and then after that, I got back to the truck, and I've just been kind of messing on the computer some more, messing with the phone some more, so I'm really finding some interesting Android, you know, there's just different or really interesting applications for Android. And, you know, if obviously a lot of these developers are, you know, the really useful applications, not only are they writing them for Android, they're writing them for iPhone, you know, for the iPhone. And so, you know, a major site like Squarespace is going to have, they're going to at least cover their bases. They're going to have a version for an iPhone. They're going to have a version for Android. And I bet they probably even got a version for Windows Mobile. If you still have a Windows Mobile phone, there's 30% of the market, the smartphone market right now, is still Windows Mobile. That's probably going to be changing pretty radically in the near future. I just don't see, you know, Microsoft is supposed to be coming out with this Windows Mobile Phone 7. It's kind of their update for Windows Mobile. But it's too little too late at this point. Windows Mobile is never going to compete against the iPhone. And it probably, from what I've seen, it will never compete against You know, and even though I haven't seen the Windows Mobile Phone 7, it will probably never compete against Android either. The iPhone and Android have left Windows Mobile in the dust. And, you know, at this point, I really wouldn't, you know, if someone asks me, you know, what kind of smartphone should I get, I'm going to tell them, you know, probably stay away from the Windows Mobile. It's, you know, either go with a, you know, if you're not going to go with an iPhone, you know, go for the Android device, because they're, you know, the Android devices, especially with this HTC Sense UI on top of it, really cool devices. So, and the HTC Sense UI really makes it a lot, it adds a polish to, the basic Android operating system. From what I've seen, the basic Android operating system is kind of utilitarian. I think the idea is sort of form over function. But the this HTC Sense UI that they've put, you know, that they're putting into at least a lot of the Sprint phones that are running Android, it really kind of polishes things up and gives you a more visually attractive interface, and, you know, among other things. So, you know, I'm glad that I've got a phone, an Android phone that has the HTC Sense UI running on top of it. But that includes the HTC Hero, at least through Sprint, as well as this Evo that I have. Before I go on, I want to talk a little bit about yourbabycanread.com/podcast. Let's see here. Should have been making that bigger while I was talking. Let's see here. Your Baby Can Read is a truly revolutionary infant reading system. It was developed by a leading infant researcher, Dr. Robert Titzer, who taught his own daughter to read when she was just 9 months old. Your Baby Can Read taps into children's natural ability to learn language in the first 5 years of life. The reading system includes videos, books, flashcards, and games. Go to www.yourbabycanread.com. to watch real home videos of infants and toddlers reading. A 6-month-old recognizing words on flashcards, an 18-month-old reading sentences, a toddler reading Charlotte's Web. Try it risk-free and see what your child can do. Visit www.yourbabycanread.com/podcast. Give the lifelong gift of early literacy to your child. And so one of the other things that I did, I mentioned in the last podcast, maybe the last couple of podcasts, that I'm going to be writing these articles primarily, I think, about smartphones, different, you know, particularly probably Android applications, but smartphones in general. Just different ideas, kind of centered around smartphones and how things are kind of converging on the smartphone, you know, because you have not only the phone, but you have the internet, you have social networking, and that's all kind of in the process of converging on the phone. And so I have published my first article. You can find the article. It's at geeknewscentral.com. So you just type, you know, www.geeknewscentral.com. And, you know, I'd say many of you are probably already familiar with it. That's Todd Cochran's website. He does the Geek News Central podcast. I've known Todd for several years. At this point, his mom, Sherry, lives up there in Michigan, and I've stopped through there a few times and had lunch with her. And, so Todd is a great guy. Really consider him a good friend. And so he in his podcast the other day, he was kind of asking once again for writers for his website, to kind of keep the content flowing. He's had a number of writers in there for quite some time now. And, since I got this Android phone, this HTC Evo, it kind of clicked, and I thought, I would like to write about this. And so I answered his, sent him an email, and he said, sure, love to have you write. And so I've already, I published my first article today, and it was, so you can find that. It's not at the top anymore. It stayed at the top of the list, when you opened up the page, geeknewscentral.com. It was at the top, but now it's someone else has already written another article. But the title of it, you can kind of scroll down a little bit. Smartphones Getting Smarter. And so I don't know how often I'm going to be writing an article. It's just going to be basically whenever the mood strikes, whenever I come up with an interesting idea, something I want to write about. And these aren't terribly long articles, probably, I'd say they're probably going to be 250 to 350 words. So not really long, but, and it's just going to vary. But, and I may well end up writing on other topics as well. So, generally, obviously, tech-type topics. But right now, I'm kind of enamored with, of course, with this new phone, as you might imagine. And, it's an interesting thing. The phone, if you think about it, you go back to the days when we just had wired telephones, and then the internet came along, and we had dial-up networking, and people were using the phone system, primarily consumers were using the phone system to access the internet. And so, then the internet began to develop. And at first it was just kind of simple websites. And then people, over time, people began to kind of make contact with each other. That began to develop. Of course, people did the same thing kind of through AOL. People were making, if you go back to the probably the late 80s, early 90s, you had things like CompuServe and America Online, and what were some of the others? Genie, and there was a bunch of them. They're all gone now. AOL, I guess, is still around in some form or fashion, but, and remember all those discs that AOL used to send out all these discs all the time. Once you got on their mailing list, they just spammed those CD installation discs for America Online. Those were they just churned those out by the jillions. And I think at first people would kind of save them because they didn't want to throw a CD away. And I don't know, I don't know if I have any of those left or not. At some point, those may be collector's items. Who knows? At one point, there were literally millions of them being sent out through the mail to people. Just people on mailing lists. And it was basically junk mail. So social networking kind of developed, and you know, and it's kind of, especially the past 4 or 5 years, the social networking aspect is really kind of, you know, and it's continuing to develop. But so in the meantime, the wireless internet that we're accessing through with our phones, we're getting more bandwidth. It's much more reliable, and it's, you know, so you've got the things that kind of happened on the wired internet sort of really now able to kind of converge on this, on the phone, on the smartphone. Basically, the smartphone being a pocket computer. And it's an interesting thing, and as I say, it's continuing to develop. It really is kind of continuing to develop, and you know, so smartphone is an interesting device because it's, you know, especially with the GPS chip in there, you know, it just makes it incredibly useful. As I was saying, you know, with that Foursquare application that I put in there today, you know, I can just, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I don't even need to know where I'm at. But I can just open that up, and it looks at the GPS location, and then it looks it up on some database on a server somewhere, and it tells me, hey, this is what's around you. You know, and these, there are things there that I, you know, that I probably wouldn't have noticed. You know, I didn't know there was a Starbucks. There's a Starbucks at this exit. It's actually, you know, kind of, it's across the street, and it's up closer to the freeway, but it's there. I saw it, you know, but I had no idea. Well, you know, I don't pay attention to Starbucks. But there's a Starbucks store here. Surprise, surprise. But, you know, so it's really interesting, you know, the different applications that people are coming up with as far as, you know, what can you do with a computer in your pocket that knows where it's at all time, or, you know, unless you go in a building and then it might cut it off, but what can you do with a computer that goes in your pocket, knows where it's at, and, you know, and it's an interesting thing. You know, it's really, and people are coming up with some very clever ideas. You know, as I've talked before, you know, if you have a computer, depending on the, you know, what it's connected to, what kind of hardware it's connected to, if you can sort of simulate some sort of device in software, and you've got, it's attached to the hardware, as, you know, display or whatever, you know, like an accelerometer or a compass internally, if you can connect that, you know, and sort of simulate the parts that you don't have in software, you know, you can create a compass, or you can create a level with the thing, or you can do all kinds of really clever things. And some of those things may be kind of frivolous, but then there are some of them that, you know, it could be useful. Now, for some people, this Foursquare application, if they don't travel very much, you know, that feature that I was talking about where, you know, it lists the things, the restaurants and what have you around you, if you never travel out of your town, then, or out of, even out of your neighborhood, then that might not be that useful. But for me, a feature like that is extremely useful because I'm traveling all the time, constantly. So that, you know, now the having a level in the phone. And it actually does work. You know, there's a couple of different applications. You know, it's like a bubble level. Having an application like that in my, you know, it's kind of a novelty for me because I, you know, I don't really need that. But for some people, that might be actually quite useful. You know, there's one of the applications I downloaded was like a police scanner, you know, emergency services scanner, and it's this application. You can kind of go into it and listen to all, you know, there's a bunch of different cities, fire departments, police departments, airport, air traffic control people kind of talking to aircraft. It's actually quite interesting, and you can actually, so it kind of turns your phone into a radio. Now, this Sprint, this HTC Evo, also has an integrated FM radio. So, you know, you plug in the headset, and the headset wire, you plug in a wired headset, the headset wire becomes the antenna. And so I haven't really messed with that much, because I don't, you know, I could care less about radio, quite frankly. But, so that's kind of interesting. You know, so it's, I don't know, it's, and in this Evo in particular, I love the screen size. You know, it is a kind of a bigger screen than, you know, it's probably one of the biggest screens that any smartphone has, if not the biggest, 4.3 inches. And that's big enough to make it super, super useful. And, you know, so anyway, I'm going to enjoy kind of writing articles about that, and, you know, and I'll probably venture into other sort of tech-related areas sort of as the mood strikes me. But, again, you can find those articles I'm going to be writing at geeknewscentral.com. So, anyway, I received earlier today it's a voicemail through Google Voice. And there's, by the way, I haven't mentioned it. There's a badge on my website, and you know, if you go to truckertompodcast.com and you scroll down, it's sort of partway down on the left side, and it says "Call me," and it's a Google Voice icon. You can actually leave voicemail that way. You know, you don't, you know, most people have just, what they've done, they've sent me files, actual MP3 files that they've recorded. But you can actually click on that and it will send me a voicemail, just like what Bruce did here. So I'm going to play Bruce's voicemail. This is about two minutes, 35 seconds. So here is Bruce.
Trucker Tom, this is Bruce, otherwise known as Mr. Gadgets from Kansas City. I had no idea that we were so simpatico in terms of our technological history. Color computer wasn't the first computer I owned, but it was like the second manufactured computer that I owned. I started out way back in the build your own by soldering parts onto boards kind of era. So I think I'm a little bit older than you, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, and for some reason, I don't know why, I have not had you in my mix of podcasts on a regular basis since I switched over to the iPod Touch and iTunes and all that kind of stuff. So I can't think of that I've ever called you. Anyway, I'm really enjoying the shows. Enjoy your travel logs as well as your political and philosophical kinds of commentary. So I just wanted to call in and tell you how much I was enjoying the show and how much that I enjoy just the fact that you are out there talking about people being true to themselves and figuring out really who they are. I think probably the most important lesson that I have learned in life is that who you are is really the reason why we're here in this material world. If you can figure out who that is, then you've really accomplished what it is you're here for. Anyway, that's a little bit of my philosophy. Also, your thing on backups is really good. I know you listened to Chris. You participated in one of his seminars, photo seminars. And I know that Chris and Leo were all the time talking. And I can't remember whether it's Chris or Leo somewhere back and forth, but for people who aren't into photography, backup is not three copies, right? If three copies don't exist, it doesn't exist. And two of those should be a different media. I've got some ideas on that. I'll call you back sometime about that once I work through them a little bit more for online backup. Keep up the great work. I'll be listening. Bye now.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. Actually, I've attended two of Chris Marquardt's seminars. Now, this year, I think, I don't know, he had one, you know, he's just, the past 2 years, he's had them in, like, San Francisco and New York. And, you know, but I attended, you know, when he had them in Fort Collins, I attended a couple of years there. I really enjoyed it. But in any case, you were talking about the color computer. You know, and that color computer, it was an interesting device. I had it for I used it for a couple of years actually, and you know, I bought a cartridge and I bought a printer. You know, it was called a line printer back in those days. Plugged it in and into a serial port, and it was a serial printer. And it you know, you put your paper in it. You know, and the paper was, you know, it was all a continuous thing, and it had the I don't even remember what you call that now. It had the perforated thing on the sides that you tore off. And so I used that for a couple of years as a word processor. I had this word processing program that I bought, you know, on this cartridge. You know, because the thing would, you know, you had the thing that, you know, it would work with a cassette, with an audio cassette, and basically, it was a cassette recorder player. It was kind of a standard cassette recorder player from Radio Shack that they sold. But you plugged that in, and it would record your programs and your data to an audio cassette, and then you could rewind that and you know, put it back in the computer if you wanted to. But so I did get some use out of that, you know, once I was able to buy some programs. And of course, I experimented with, you know, the BASIC that they had in there. And I typed in a bunch of programs out of there were magazines there was at least one or two magazines that were devoted to the Radio Shack color computer, or they had sections that were. And so, you know, I remember spending hours and hours typing in these, you know, one line after another, the basic commands, you know, that would, and then you'd run it and find an error, you know, where you made a typo that, you know, of course you have to really hit, you really had to have everything just perfect as far as, you know, no syntax errors or whatever. And, but that was quite the computer. And that was kind of my introduction to the world of computers. And then, as I, you know, I said in the last podcast, I, you know, kind of went to a 286. And then I think I made the jump to a 486. And then I think the next one was a Pentium. You know, I kind of lost count after that. But, you know, I don't know. It's really amazing how far we've come. Now, I was tempted back, let's say, around 1980, you know, some of the magazines were starting to talk about these kits where you could build your own computer, and, you know, and it was about that time, I guess, Radio Shack kind of, at some point in there, I don't remember the timeline exactly, they kind of jumped in there with the TRS-80 and so on and so forth. And I was kind of interested. You know, I'd thought about it. I didn't, you know, and then the idea of a personal computer. The problem was, well, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to use it for? And, you know, that was the big mantra. You know, people said, well, this is pretty interesting. These people are engaged in this hobby, building these computers, but what are they going to do with them? And, of course, we found uses for them over the years. You know, word processing and so on, you know, and accounting and things like that. But once the internet came along, then that sort of began to change. Then it became social networking, for a while there, they kept saying multimedia. That's going to be the big thing, and of course, it turned out to be. Yes, it was. But you know, you look back at those early machines, even that Radio Shack color computer, you look back at that early machine from the 19, you know, that was a 1980s product, and compare that to what we have today, you know, the iPod that you mentioned, iPod Touch, or this Evo 4G phone that I have. You know, those are just amazingly, with, you know, touch screens and so on and so forth, and wireless internet connections, fast wireless internet connections. Those are just absolutely amazing pieces of technology. You know, and, it's really amazing how things have really evolved. So, then you were talking about backup, you know, backup. I was, I got some email, and I'm going to just go ahead and, because the email, Ian had emailed me about backup. And so let me open this email up, and we'll just, I got two or three pieces of email today, and, so might as well just go ahead and just jump right on into this. So I got this email from Ian. It says, thank you for your podcast this morning, Tom. I have a question for you. I heard you talking about hard drives today. I have a solid-state hard drive in the iPad and the iPod Touch. Can they be damaged like hard drives that move? And that was from Ian. And I looked it up, you know, and there's, you type in, I don't remember exactly what I typed into the search engine, solid state hard drive reliability, what have you, but it would appear that, at least in their current state, solid state hard drives may not last as long as, and then this is at the current time, but they may not last as long as a standard, hard drive that actually spins. Now, they're very reliable, they're very rugged, from a, you know, just a rugged standpoint, because there's no moving parts, but apparently there is kind of a problem with, how long they can last, how many times you can write to the, some sort of a solid-state memory device. Now, and of course you have different types of memory, you have the flashcards that we're all familiar with, that we all have, today in our smartphones, I've got this, it's a micro SD card that goes into my smartphone, and gives me some extra storage. And of course, anyone with a digital camera probably has an SD card of some sort. So those can be written to typically about 1,000 times, is what they say. Now your mileage may vary, but what they try to do is, when they've even got little algorithms in there somewhere somewhere in the food chain that actually try to write to different parts of it to sort of spread the wear, because, you know, they're calling it wear, spread the wear to all segments of the memory and not just kind of concentrate on one segment and wear that segment out. Now, as I've said before, I've had two of those SD cards fail. Ironically, they both failed when I was in Fort Collins. You know, the first time there at Chris's seminar, Chris Marquardt's seminar, photo seminar, had one fail then, and then when I went back the next year, I had a completely different one fail. You know, and so they do fail. They can fail. On the other hand, they're very rugged. They're very reliable. I've heard story after story of people accidentally having them, like an SD card, having it in their pocket, forgetting to get it out of their pocket. It ends up going through the washing machine and the dryer. Emerges on the other side. They find it. They try it. It works just fine. So they're reliable from a physical standpoint. They're very rugged. But you probably don't want to be backing up to an SSD drive. Don't use an SSD drive as your backup solution. Because it's just, you know, at least as the technology exists right now, from what I read, you know, it's just probably not as reliable as a standard hard drive is. But, you know, in an integrated device, you know, you like your iPad or an iPod Touch, you know, they have basically, I don't know what type of memory, it's probably some sort of a flash memory. Whatever, you know, and of course it's in every phone has some sort of flash memory that the operating system for the phone is in, even if it's a so-called dumb phone. It's got some kind of an operating system, and certainly if it is a smartphone, then obviously it has some sort of, there's some sort of SSD or flash memory in there. So, generally speaking, a device like that, you know, how long is your iPod Touch going to last? How long is your iPad going to last? I don't know. Really have no clue. But, now the typical phone, usually what happens, people use those things for, you know, the typical phone ends up, you know, I think the average right now is like 18 months. You know, you keep a phone for around 18 months. That's the average. Some people keep them shorter. Some people keep them longer than that. But, you know, before they trade it in and get the next model, get a new phone. So, I don't know. But, I think that solid-state drives are fine. But I wouldn't be using it as a backup. You know, so, you know, and probably like in an iPod Touch or an iPad or, you know, some device like that, it's probably going to be fine, I don't know. Do we know how long they last? I don't know. Now, one of the articles that I kind of glanced through when I was looking for, you know, when I was trying to look that up, one of these articles was talking about, you know, this guy dug out a 20-year-old IBM computer, and, you know, out of somewhere he had, and it was intact, and so he plugged it in, and he turned it on, 20 years old, the hard drive booted right up. So, you know, after 20 years. So, but of course that was a physical hard drive, and I bet you it was a pretty small one. By today's standards, you know, so I don't know. The idea, just back up, but, you know, periodically, every few years, you know, let's say you back up, you got stuff backed up to a hard drive, probably a good idea, you know, just to, you know, transfer to a new one at some point. You know, back, you know, and be, you know, because how long, you know, in this case, you know, this hard drive was 20-year-old hard drive, still booted up just fine. But modern hard drives, of course, the information is packed more densely in there. You know, what is the shelf life of a hard drive? You know, I don't know. So it's, generally speaking, you should just be backing things up to different, you know, different devices, multiple copies, periodically, you know, make more copies and more copies, and you know, then you'll be able to keep your stuff. But I think hard drives are, you know, probably, you know, at least the way they're constituted right now, a physical, you know, a hard drive, a spinning hard drive, is probably one of the most reliable things that we have as far as consumers go. The SSD, those SSD drives may not be, you know, you don't want to use those as a backup medium, I don't think, from what I was reading today. I wouldn't want to use those as a backup medium. You want, you know, and besides that, they're very expensive. That kind of memory, the SSD drives are still pretty expensive. So, you know, they do have advantages because obviously there's no moving parts and they're very fast. They're super, super fast as far as reading from them, the SSD drives. They're very, very fast. So, you know, there are computers that are being sold with SSD drives. And, you know, that's works great for that kind of an application. How long those are going to last, we don't know. But apparently there may be a little bit of a reliability problem. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. So, anyway, thank you, Ian. I got an email here from Arnold in North Carolina. He says, "Hi, Tom. It looks like this district," and he's talking about this Congressman Bob Etheridge that choked the student journalist on the Washington sidewalk. It looks like his district is around the Raleigh area, whereas I'm in Murphy, North Carolina, which is extreme southwest North Carolina, quite a ways away, but I would love to ask people there, and he's talking about in Raleigh, if I were ever to pass through, he's responding to an email where I suggested, you know, if I found somebody that voted for that bozo, Etheridge, you know, I would confront them, you know, especially if people, you know, were trying to defend him and say, you know, because there are people in the media and probably elsewhere that are trying to defend Bob Etheridge. And, you know, what you have to do is try to get them to put that in their personal perspective, you know, and ask them, hey, if you did that at your job, if you grab somebody, let's say, like with me, I gave the example, let's say I get upset with a shipper or receiver that's rude with me, or I think they're being rude with me, and I grab them by the wrist, and then I grab them at the back of the neck, you know, and try to inflict a little pain on them. I would be fired instantly, and probably they'd call the cops and I'd be in jail. Now, how is it that a congressman can get away with something like that? And also movie stars, you know, these so-called stars, celebrities, you know, they do outrageous things and they seem to get away with it. Why is that? And people just kind of give them a pass and they think, oh, well, why is that? What is it that causes people to do that? And, you know, and I think it revolves around the fact that people put those people on a pedestal. And there's some conditioning involved. Because, if you know, the stars, the Hollywood stars. Remember when Zsa Zsa Gabor slapped the policeman? You know, and I... She, you know, she I don't know, she may have paid some kind of fine and had some kind of court dates or something, but she, you know, she never went to jail. She never went to prison. And I don't think, you know, whatever happened, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't really very much. You know, if the average person did something like that, let's say you get pulled over, you know, she was driving, she got pulled over for whatever reason. Let's say you get pulled over and you end up slapping the policeman. Guess what's probably going to happen? You could just imagine what would happen to you if you did that. So, if you can get people, you know, get those people to, you know, kind of confront them and get them to put it in their own perspective, you know, maybe you can kind of break through the fog. But people put people on a pedestal. You know, and in the, you know, there, and then part of that's conditioning, because you hear the word congressman. Oh, he's a congressman. You know, and somehow we're kind of conditioned, if you're not careful, you're conditioned to think that congressman, oh, he's some kind of a god. And that's basically the same thing with all this celebrity worship. You know, people are kind of creating little quasi-gods. You know, so you put your, you know, you've got your rock star, your politician, your movie star. You've got them up on a pedestal. You know, in a lot of cases, they're probably urinating right into your mouth. What an image. Anyway, going on with Arnold's email, he says, again, I totally agree, his behavior is inexcusable. And yes, if you or I behave toward a coworker or associate, we would be gone immediately, and so should these guys. They seem to have some kind of immunity, kind of like the Hollywood stars do. They commit crimes and get a slap on the wrist, and then continue the same behavior, only to get more pampered treatment while the ordinary Joe would be in jail. Speaking of Murphy, I took a look on Sprint at the HTC Evo, and coverage here is pretty bleak, which I suspected. Verizon has what I'd call Evo Lite, which they call the Droid Incredible. And he's got a link here. I need to look into what they mean by Wi-Fi capable, as I would like to be able to use the phone while in the car or something as a hotspot for my laptop. And that's from Arnold. So thank you, Arnold. Then I got a Twitter from Brent. He says, hey Tom, how about a video review of your HTC Evo? And so I've kind of got that in the works. I recorded initially when I opened the box, I recorded that on video. So I'm thinking, you know, once I make it home, I'll probably, after I've had the phone for a while, I'll probably go ahead and do some more recording and then kind of edit that into a video. So thank you, Brent. Then I got an email here from Kevin from Lakeville, Minnesota. He says, hi, Tom. I was going through my Google map on my iPhone, and I managed to find the house I rented in the UK when I was in the Air Force in the 1980s. The Google version says it was 2009. I think you can do this with your new Evo. Absolutely, I can. I went into the Apple at Mall of America on Monday, and they said that I'm eligible, but I have 9 months left on the current AT&T, and my whole family are Sprint users, since things like having to pay extra for the data plan for the iPhone 4 is giving some second thoughts on the iPhone. We all came to a household vote, and this is definitely a wait and see. Tomorrow, though, I think I'm going to give the Sprint phone a look as well. And he sent me some pictures of the house that he rented in the UK. He says, enjoy the pictures below. And I think if click above, it should take you to the spot on Google Earth. Take care and have a good week. And that's Kevin from Lakeville, Minnesota, which is basically Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So thank you, Kevin. And then there's another couple of emails here from Arnold. He says, he's responding back to me, good info. Speaking of dropped calls, you mentioned Michael's whirling his phone on AT&T. I remember having the Motorola brick analog phone and AT&T calling me to tell me how much money I could save if I went to a digital phone. So I went ahead and got the Nokia phone, and I tell you, from the first day, every time I would drive over Highway 17 from Santa Cruz to San Jose, I wanted to throw that phone out the window, dropouts galore. Cell reception in that area is terrible, and it doesn't sound like it's gotten much better, at least with AT&T as a carrier. I really think Apple did itself a real disservice by being locked into AT&T. Well, I agree with you. And then the other aspect of that, you know, the Apple iPhone may not have the best reception. Now, of course, they're coming out with this iPhone 4, and it's basically a total redesign. So perhaps it's going to have better reception. Now, I can tell you a little story. You know, Ron Stroop had a Palm Centro. Both he and his wife had Palm Centros through Sprint. And the other day, I don't want to embarrass you, Ron, but the other day Ron was kind of sitting there, and he had his phone, and he was sitting in a rocking chair of some sort, and somehow the phone fell to the floor, and Ron was going to bend down and get the phone, and the phone screen ended up getting underneath the rocking chair. And you can guess what happened. It broke the screen. And so, to make a long story short, both he and his wife ended up getting new phones. So they ended up getting HTC Heroes from Sprint. And so Ron and I talk on the phone quite a bit. You know, usually a couple of times a week, and usually they're fairly long conversations. And so there's this one place, this one intersection. If he's driving around when he's on the phone, there's this one intersection where when he goes through that intersection, the call will drop for whatever reason. with that Palm Centro, the call would drop every time. Now with this HTC Hero, when I was talking to him earlier this evening, he was driving through that intersection. He says, "This is the intersection. I may lose you." And he drove right through it, no problem at all. And so I think the HTC Hero obviously has better reception than that Palm Centro did. Now I get the feeling that this HTC Evo has better reception than the HTC Touch that I had before. You know, my older phone, the Windows mobile phone. I think that this Evo has better reception. Now, it is a bigger device. It probably has a bigger antenna. So that will vary from model to model of phone. Depending on how it's engineered and how big the antenna is and, how they've engineered that antenna, so on and so forth. And then, of course, the electronics they put in it, the quality on, how sensitive it is and how well it works does vary. So, anyway, thank you, Arnold. And then there's a second email from Arnold. He says, "Hey, Tom, I heard Scott talk about the cell tower climbers on your show today, and I thought I'd try to find it online. Well, I think I found the show he was talking about. It's called Tower Dogs, and it aired on MSNBC in 2008. He's got a link here. Here's a link, but it only has snippets from the show. Apparently, the original show was an hour long. I can't seem to find video of the whole show. I checked with Netflix, Hulu, etc. And did a pretty good search in Google, which is a shame as it seems interesting. And it's from Arnold, so thank you, Arnold. And yeah, I don't know. You'd think that the thing might show up on Netflix anyway in the form of a DVD, but maybe not. You'd think you'd be able to, if they bothered to put the seasons on, you know, whatever the show was on DVD. And maybe they didn't, since it was MSNBC. Now, if it was Discovery Channel, they might have done it. So, but I don't know. That's kind of interesting. You know, people that deal with electrical towers and radio towers of various different types. So. Anyway, probably better be cutting this off. We're at 65 minutes. See if I can lay down and sleep a little bit, and then I'll turn the volume up on this Qualcomm and kind of put it close to my ear so that if they send a message, it'll hopefully wake me up, and if they send a load offer, then I'll be able to answer it. So, anyhow, hope everyone has a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.